Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's Same Game Multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the Same Game Multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, the one-stop shop for all of your football betting insight. It's Jack Reeve with Liam Flynn, Aidan Perkins and Carl Monaghan to guide you through both FA Cup and Premier League action this week. Carl, let's jump straight into things. Lots of games to get through, and let's start with the FA Cup semi-finals this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. Before we get into that Chelsea-Manchester City game, let's start with the outright market.
Yeah, so just looking at the FA Cup outright market, Jack, Man City, the favourites of 4-5. I don't think we're surprised by that. Leicester 16-5, Chelsea 7-2, and Southampton 9-1.
Manchester City, the favourites, and quite rightly so. They've been phenomenal, haven't they, this season? But Chelsea, the opponents on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff on BBC. No mugs at the moment under Thomas Tuchel.
No, they aren't. And obviously, defensively, they are quite sound. Interesting about Chelsea, though, they have lost two of their last four. It was a tough game against Porto during the week. Man City, unbelievable last night in the second half to get the job done against Dortmund. I had a look at Tuchel and Pep's record. They've met five times, Jack, and Pep has won four of them. That was all, of course, in Germany. But just in terms of this game for me, City to win and over 2.5 goals, around 7-4, appealed for me. I just think City will rotate. They'll bring in the fresher legs. And as Chelsea are looking a little bit better in the going forward, he seems to have finally picked Mount, Pulisic and Havertz, and he seems to be happy with them, Tuchel. But yeah, I see them landing a glove, Chelsea, but I see City winning the game overall. They're just a better side.
Liam, I know you're a big fan of Thomas Tuchel. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think Chelsea will definitely put up a fight. I mean, this is, of course, you know, it's been a big week in City's quadruple pursuit. You know, they were not without their faults, obviously, against Leeds in the Premier League and losing that game, or Dortmund in the Champions League. They thoroughly dominated that game against Leeds, but, of course, lost 2-1. And they were trailing 1-0 until the 55th minute against Borussia Dortmund. So I don't think we're going to be seeing a bulldozing performance from them against Chelsea, who, as we've said, have been solid under Thomas Tuchel. The midweek loss to Porto was, of course, a result of a special strike from Mehdi Taremi. And it was only their second defeat in 18 matches under the former Paris Saint-Germain boss. We also know Chelsea have been generally keeping things very tight. 13 clean sheets as part of that aforementioned run. So I fancy them to take this game to extra time. I like the look of the draw at 5-2. And then Manchester City to win in extra time at 8-1 seems at quite a big price to me. I just think that if it gets to that stage of the game, I think Manchester City maybe have that depth to rotate a little bit more easily than Chelsea. And of course, you know, Pep Guardiola's got this team well versed in going deep into these domestic competitions. So I'd say the draw of 5-2 is the bet for me.
Will you be opposing the favourites here, Aidan?
I do think it'll be a tight game, but I can't really get away from City winning it, just because, a little bit like Carl, I think they are the better side when it comes down to it. And these big games, City know all about them, of course, such a fantastic record in the Cups in the last few years. I do like both teams to score at 4-5. Chelsea have only failed to score in one of their last six. That was against Porto in that match in the week. But they were obviously already 2-0 up from the first leg, and it was a very late goal. So, I mean, it wasn't critical that they needed to go for goals in that one. Havertz is improving. Pulisic scored twice last week in the win at Palace. Mason Mount's had a really good run of goal-scoring form of late. So I do think Chelsea will score, but I also think City will score as well. Obviously, I mean, you know, City, the only time they've not scored, and I think it's 31 games, I was trying to total it up before, is the 2-0 Manchester Derby defeat. So, you know, if it's not De Bruyne or Jesus or Aguero that gets the goals, it's Foden, Mahrez, Sterling. The list, you know, the list goes on, really. Gundogan. Both teams to score for me at 4-5 is the bet, I think.
Yeah, exciting first FA Cup semi-final. Of course, there's one on the Sunday as well at 6:30 on BT Sport. A wonderful opportunity here, Carl, for either Leicester or Southampton to reach an FA Cup final.
Absolutely, Jack. A wonderful opportunity, I would say, for Brendan Rodgers to get his mittens on some silverware. I'd say he'll be licking his lips here, because they did get the favourable draw. They avoided Chelsea and Man City. That was huge in terms of Leicester. I think Leicester win the midfield battle in this match. I like Tielemans and Ndidi. in the middle of the park for them, especially. I've actually singled out your man, Youri Tielemans. I think he's a cracking show for any time. He seems to stand up in the big games as well. He scored against United, scored against Arsenal. He actually scored against England for Belgium as well. So I like him in the anytime goal market. But I'll be rowing in behind Brendan Rodgers' team here, Leicester at 17 to 20. I just think they're too much firepower and quality for Southampton.
Yeah, certainly more quality in that Leicester ranks, Liam, but not the perfect few weeks for them. They've lost a couple in a row. You would have definitely had them down for almost certainties for the top four a few weeks ago, and even that's looking slightly uncertain now. They need to get back to winning ways here.
Yeah, I mean, I think those losses to Man City and West Ham put Leicester at risk once again of missing out on the top four. They do have a habit almost of trailing off towards the end of the season. And so I think the FA Cup semi-finals this weekend could be a welcome distraction for the Foxes. I do think they'll come out on top at Wembley. I mean, Southampton had managed only one win in 12 games before their victory against Burnley. And then they were very sloppy, of course, in that 3-0 defeat to relegation-threatened West Brom. I think the motivation in terms of the Saints will be much higher this time around, of course, because they've not had much to play for in the Premier League of late. Maybe that's contributed to their recent decline. And given, Southampton, they did overcome Arsenal and Wolves in previous rounds, and of course got Danny Ings back in the fold. So I do fancy them to get on the score sheet. So for that reason, the bet I'd be going for would be a Leicester win and both teams to score around 11-4. I think Leicester will have too much with in-form Kelechi Iheanacho, 9 goals and 6. Of course, leading the line, Jamie Vardy up there. So I think home win and both teams to score could be the way to go. Both teams have scored in 5 of Leicester's last 7 matches.
Will you have the third vote for Leicester, Aidan?
Yeah, I do think Leicester are shown vulnerable or vulnerable at the minute. I mean, they weren't great against West Ham in that first half and did come back to make a game of it late on, 3-2. Kelechi Iheanacho is someone who he's really stood up to the plate for Leicester in recent weeks. And as Liam just said there, 9 goals in 6. I'd look at him in terms of the anytime goal scorer. I think he's 13-10. You can't never ignore players in a rich vein of form. And such a big game as well for both teams at Wembley. Chance for both to make it through to the FA Cup final. I am tempted by Southampton because I think Leicester are a little bit fragile. But then I watched Southampton at West Brom and they were dreadful, to be honest. And that made me think, is their mind completely on the FA Cup semi-final? And are we going to see a real top performance from Ralph Hasenhüttl's side? Because when they click, they are very good, actually, Southampton. But I'm going to side with Leicester. I think Leicester will get the job done. And they have got the stronger squad out of the two.
Yeah, two really exciting games over the weekend. Thoroughly looking forward to them.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Premier League action now, and things kick off on Friday the 16th of April at 8 p.m. It's Everton against Tottenham, this one on Sky Sports. Carl, two fairly evenly matched teams here. Does that reflect in the prices?
Yes, it does. Everton are 23-10. Spurs are 23-20. The draw is 23-10, Jack. And just the way I'd play it here, I'd probably go with Spurs, just on the back that I've one rule this year, and that is don't back the Toffees at Goodison Park. They're 14th in the home side of the Premier League table, 4th on the away side. They're pretty good on their travels, but they were uninspiring on their trip to the seaside last week against the Brighton. I just couldn't be having them. So Spurs win here 23-20.
Yeah, just looking at the table, Liam, it's really surprising. Tottenham on 49 points and Everton on 48, but the goal difference is remarkably different. Tottenham with a goal difference of 17, Everton just 3. And as Carl mentioned there, Goodison Park hasn't been a happy hunting ground for the Toffees this season.
No, absolutely. I think both of these teams all season long have been quite difficult to pin down. So I'll probably be accused of playing it a bit safe here, but I'm going to just go with both teams to score at 8-11 in this one. Like I said, both Everton, Tottenham, I think both of them have really seen their respective European pursuits kind of derailed recently. We saw Tottenham collapse in the second half of that game against Manchester United. Of course, United looked very sharp after the break, but they lost that one 3-1. And then you've had an injury-plagued Everton side who've gone 4 league matches without a win. So I wouldn't be rushing to back either of these sides in the results market for that reason. I would instead, like I say, back both teams to score. And I think the potential return of 14-goal Dominic Calvert-Lewin to the Everton lineup only enhances appeal about that bet. Both teams have scored in 9 of Everton's 15 home league games, and that bet's also clicked in 9 of Tottenham's 16 away league fixtures this season. So I think both teams to score is a fairly safe bet at Goodison Park.
They do look slightly vulnerable at the back, Tottenham, don't they, Aidan?
Yeah, they do. I couldn't trust them last week against Manchester United, even when they went 1-0 in front. You just thought, I mean, that was a game that sort of really sprung into life when Manchester United had that goal disallowed. It really seemed to rile United, and that they came back well after Tottenham went in front. I can't get behind either of these two in this match. I just think, you know, it's been well documented, Everton at home, but Tottenham under Jose Mourinho are so difficult to predict. You know, you do get some good performances off them, but then they really seem to, you know, go within themselves and look to, you know, worry about not winning the match rather than worry about not losing the match rather than winning it. And maybe the draw at 23-10, it's probably a game I'd avoid in terms of a bet, because I haven't got a strong feeling for either of these two to win it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, two teams difficult to split on that Friday night Premier League game. Let's move on to Saturday then, the early kickoff, Newcastle against West Ham. And it's been a really decent few weeks for Newcastle, a draw against Spurs and then a really good win against Burnley, where Alan Saint-Maximin just changed the game completely, a goal and an assist within minutes of coming on the pitch. Carl, Newcastle, would you probably say they're safe now?
Yeah, well, they're 4-1 in the relegation markets, so the traders certainly think that they are safe there. So Newcastle are 13-5 here against West Ham. West Ham are evens, and the draw is 12-5, Jack.
Now, in terms of from the bottom to the top, let's talk about West Ham. I've been saying on this podcast for a week, trying to tease all of you into saying that West Ham will get the top four. None of you have wanted to say it, but they are now in the top four. Will they finish the season there?
They're a 2-1 shot if you want to back them for the top four. Liverpool 8-11, Chelsea 8-11, Leicester 4-5. I would be holding fire on backing them for the top four for another couple of weeks. Just injuries starting to stack up for them. Cresswell, Antonio Rice all injured here. And I think Newcastle can get something. And I think it's Wilson and Saint-Maximin. You mentioned Saint-Maximin, brilliant last week with a goal and assist, Jack. And it just gives Newcastle a little bit more spice. And I just think Newcastle can get something from the game, actually. 12-5, the draw appeals to me.
Liam, I feel like some of the panellists have been a bit harsh on West Ham this season. I'm just looking at their last 5 fixtures. Leeds, Manchester United, Arsenal, Wolves, Leicester. 5 very difficult games, 3 wins, a draw and a defeat in there. They've been good.
They have, yeah. And to be fair, I don't think, you know, that 2-1 for them to get the top four isn't a bad price when you look at the run-ins. I mean, Chelsea have got some tough games. And I mean, you look at West Ham's last fixtures, I think they've got sort of after this Newcastle game, Chelsea, the big clash with Chelsea is really the only one I'd be worried about for them. The rest of them, of course, they're playing quite a few teams with little to play for, I'd say, like the likes of Burnley, Brighton and Southampton. I think, you know, that's obviously presuming the relegation battle is maybe a foregone conclusion. But based on the run-ins, I definitely think they've got a shot, and I'd fancy them to win this game against Newcastle. I mean, like we said, that win over Burnley was crucial for Newcastle. They've put a 6-point buffer between them and the drop zone with a game in hand now. But I think, you know, I don't think they'll obviously be, you know, on the beach already, but I do think they're coming up against a West Ham team with arguably more incentive to win this weekend. They occupy a Champions League place going into this weekend's match. They've, as you said, come through a very tricky run of fixtures, wins over Leeds, Wolves and Leicester, a draw with Arsenal, slender loss to Manchester United. And they just haven't really been fazed by the loss of Mikel Antonio. I mean, Jesse Lingard has been a revelation. Jarrod Bowen still chipping in with goals. So they have 2 informed goal scorers up there. And of course, you know, if West Ham is serious about making the top four this season, this is the kind of game they simply have to win. There's no doubt about it. So I think it will be give us real insight into their credentials. And I think they can win.
Yeah, it's certainly getting to that point in the season, isn't it, Aidan, where teams have different things to play for. Sometimes there's more incentive for certain teams than others. How much do you read into that?
Well, I mean, we say this, you know, this time of year after Easter, it is a time where every game is crucial, really, for a lot of teams. There's only maybe a handful that you think, oh, they're not in trouble of still in trouble of going down or can't push for a European place, you know, this time of the year where games become sort of irrelevant for a few, not irrelevant, but, you know, much less to play for. So, you know, this one is obviously still huge at the bottom and the top. Newcastle still in danger of going down. West Ham, as the guys have said, have got a great chance of finishing in the top four. I would just still be wary of West Ham purely because they've in the last three games, they have almost thrown away 3-0 leads. They threw it away against Arsenal, 3-0 up, 3-3. Wolves, they were 3-0 up and it was 3-2. And then on Sunday against Leicester, 3-0 up and again 3-2. That to me is just a worrying sign that, they're playing well for 45, 60 minutes, but things are tailing off. And if they keep doing that, then they're going to get found out sooner or later. But I don't think it will necessarily be in this match, but maybe in a couple of games time, we might see West Ham just falling away in terms of that top four place. It sounds a little bit predictable to say, but they haven't been up there and haven't quite got that experience of the top, competing for these big European places. So it might just go against them in the running. I like the goal scorer markets in this. I like to look at players in form, and you just cannot ignore Lingard. He's 5-4 to score any time. His run has just been very unexpected how good he's been for West Ham, but every week it's like he can't score again, and he does. And then Saint-Maximin for Newcastle is the obvious one as well. I think he's 7-2 to score any time. He makes them so much better. When he came on against Burnley, as you said at the start, the game changed. He got a goal and an assist. So maybe the goal scorer markets in this one is something I would look at.
There we go. We talk about teams who have little to play for. This next game certainly reeks of that. Saturday, 3 p.m, Wolves against Sheffield United. Sheffield United definitely down. Wolves cemented to the mid-table. So for that reason, 15 seconds each for your tip and reasoning. Aidan, we'll stay with you. Be quick.
Yeah, I'm going to say Wolves to win both halves at 7-2. Like you say, it's a game that I don't think will appeal. Wolves haven't been great of late, but I think that Sheffield United, they know they're down. Wolves win both halves, 7-2.
Very good. Very good. Liam?
Yeah, I'd be going Wolves to win in under 3.5 goals. obviously, Wolves edged Fulham 1-0 last time out. 12 of their last 14 games have featured under 3.5 goals. Given how Sheffield United have played this season, can't see it being a high-scoring affair.
Carl, very concise answers there. Make it a third.
Yeah, Wolves were just a little bit too short for me, so I'm actually going to stay away from this one and not have a bet.
Oh, there we go. Perfect. Let's move on to Sunday's games. And Arsenal-Fulham is an interesting clash. Carl, I felt not sorry for Fulham, but considering their start to the season, it felt like they were right back in the kind of staying up race. But they've just fallen away the last couple of weeks. And the performances haven't been bad. It's just they haven't managed to get over the line, have they?
No, that's exactly how I would feel about them as well. But I did feel a little bit sorry for them, Jack, when the Traore goal hit the back of the net last week. Not just because I tipped up a 0-0 draw, but because I just felt sorry for them. I think it was a sledgehammer blow. I mean, when I saw the goal back on Saturday morning again from that acute angle, I just thought, they're down, they're doomed. And I just had that feeling about them. And I think the 8-11 about Arsenal have won 6 of the last 7 meetings between the sides. Beat the Lacazette, look good. He got 2 against Sheffield United last week. I think Arsenal at 8-11 is a sound bet this week.
Yeah, I guess the only sort of caveat here, Liam, is that Arsenal have Europa League action against Slavia Prague on Thursday evening, don't they? So that might play into the minds of bettors wanting to get on this game.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret where Arsenal's priorities lie. Going in towards the end of this season with the Slavia Prague game, of course, on the Thursday. It goes to show really where Arsenal are at, that I'm not confident of backing them to beat Fulham. So I think for that reason, I'd be going for both teams to score at 19-20. The Cottagers are on a run of 4 defeats, but they have little to lose in these remaining matches, really, with relegation looking increasingly certain. And that could actually make them dangerous opponents. With Fulham expected to play on the front foot in this one. I think, like I say, both teams to score looks the best bet. Gunners have scored at least twice in matches with Leeds, Benfica, Leicester, Olympiacos, Tottenham and West Ham since mid-February. And they should have the likes of Bukayo Saka, Martinelli, Odegaard and Aubameyang potentially available for this contest. But then, of course, on the flip side, they have that tough trip to Slavia Prague on Thursday. We saw how sloppy at the back they can be in the first leg of that game when conceding from that corner. So, as usual, I'd expect Arsenal to concede but also score. So both teams to score would be the bet for me.
I suspect, Aidan, there'll be a lot of punters out there putting Arsenal into some weekend football ackers. Would you advise that or not?
Do you know what? I wouldn't, actually. And again, there's a few reasons for it. One being that I don't really trust Arsenal at the minute. They've only won one of the last 3 at home. Also, you know, I said it, I think, last week on the postcast, that when teams have got these big European games, they then have to play the couple of days afterwards, and it can take a lot out of them. And Fulham have had a free week, still massive for them in terms of, you know, needing the points, needing anything to try and get themselves out of danger. You know, that they're not definitely going down yet. There's still a chance that they can get out of it. West Brom have shown some real good form beneath them, so they know that they really need to try and get something out of this. And Arsenal at home haven't been good. And the other reason I do like something Fulham getting something out of it is that their away form has been okay. Fulham, they've only lost one of their last nine away. Now, that was last time out against Aston Villa, but you remember that game, they were winning 1-0 with 12 minutes to go. Villa then scored three late on, so a bit of a sort of funny turnaround at the end of that. Fulham could easily have got a draw or won that match as well. So I like Fulham or draw, double chance at evens in this, you know, for those reasons that I've outlined. I don't trust Arsenal. Arsenal got a big game in the Europa League, and Fulham's need might just be greater as well.
Yeah, not much love for Arsenal at the moment. Manchester United against Burnley is the second game on Sunday. This one on Sky Sports if you want to watch the action. And Carl, a big win for Manchester United last time out, behind against Spurs, and a 3-1 win in the end. A really good turnaround.
Yeah, Jack, I was actually watching it again last night. It was a brilliant second half performance. It was like yourself watching Norwich beat Huddersfield 7-0 a couple of weeks ago. I was just had a big grin on my face, but they were really sharp with their passing and movement, and Shaw, Cavani, Wan-Bissaka, Greenwood, Fred, Maguire, Pogba all played very well. So this is the game in hand on City. So I would imagine that United will get the job done. Just looking for a little bit of value on it. United to win 2-0, 11-10. And the one I like for United to win an under 2.5 goals, around 9-4. And I'll throw Cavani in as first goal scorer as well, because I mentioned him against Brighton. He did nothing, but he was very good against Spurs last week. And he's 7-2 in the first time goal scoring market.
Yeah, he was very good, wasn't he? Liam, are there signs that there's a certain fluency starting to come for Manchester United now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were sloppy in the first half of that Tottenham game, but they turned it around after the break. That 45 minutes alone really showed why they deserve to take second spot in the Premier League this campaign. I think that's all but secured now, top four all but guaranteed. And I think as a result, you know, naturally the attention will start to drift a little bit and turn towards the Europa League. But against Burnley, who've not been, you know, an impressive side at all this season, I think they'll get the job done. Burnley with only one win in their last eight assignments. That said, the bet I like in this game is United to win and both teams to score at a shade of odds against. I mean, thanks, you know, mainly to Matej Vidra and Chris Wood, the Clarets have got on the score sheet in each of their last five fixtures. Perhaps uncharacteristically of them, their recent matches have been quite high scoring affairs. So I would like the look of them to get on the score sheet, but ultimately Manchester United to win the game.
Are you in agreement, Aidan?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research into this match and realising that Burnley had scored in each of the last five games was a little bit of a surprise to me as well, because they haven't been great, have they? And I'm like Liam, I think they can score, but I think United will win it, probably win it fairly comfortably in the end. But yeah, 21-10, I think, were the odds on both teams to score, but United to win. And that would be something that I would look at as well. I think second half, United last week against Tottenham were very, very good. And Greenwood came on and scored. Cavani was very good as well. He had that goal ruled out, and then it was nice to see a diving header. Everyone likes a diving header, don't they? And that was one of his goals at Tottenham. Rashford as well. He's got carrying a bit of an injury at the minute, Rashford. But you know, if he starts and he plays, and the threat from United is there. I can't see anything other than a United win. But Burnley might just get on the score sheet as well. It might be a game to avoid in terms of a bet. But a little bit like Liam, if I was going to pick one out, it would be home win, both to score.
Yeah, nice price about that one. Let's move on to Monday's games.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily Jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve, Liam Flynn, Aidan Perkins and Carl Monaghan from Paddy Power this week. Let's move on to Monday's fixture then. Leeds against Liverpool. And Carl, the reverse fixture of this one back in September was one of the more exciting games of the Premier League campaign. Liverpool won that game 4-3. And of course, Liverpool now out of the Champions League. They couldn't get the job done against Real Madrid. So if they want to be back in that competition next season, they're going to have to finish in the top four.
Absolutely, Jack. And just looking at the top four price, they are 8-11. Just in terms of this match, Leeds 7-2, Liverpool 4-6. The draw is 3-1. As you mentioned, 4-3. It was a cracking match at the start of the season. And I think Leeds are going to cause this Liverpool team a bit of problems. I think Klopp and this Liverpool team are emotionally drained from the last couple of months. They did well against Real Madrid, but it wasn't to be. And ultimately, they were beaten by the better side. I like the look of Leeds to win or draw the double chance market around 11 to 10. Listen, they score goals for fun, they cause problems, and they were impressive in their win against City last week. So I just think there's a little bit of value here. And not to mention Tony Eboa when I see this fixture, I have to throw it in.
Quite right. Liam, signs that Liverpool are slowly getting back to the team we were used to.
Yeah, certainly. I'm obviously quite a way off the side that bulldozed their way through the Premier League last season, but certainly signs of improvement. And I would fancy them to win this game at 4-6. Leeds did record a huge win over Manchester City last time out, but there's no doubting, I think, luck, you know, was on their side in that game. They lost a shot count 29-2, saw only 28%. Possession in that match. Bielsa's men will, of course, want to finish as high as possible in their first season back in the Premier League. But I think Champions League chasing Liverpool arguably have more to play for, like we said, going into this game. And I think they can concentrate solely on the top four now, obviously, that they're out of the Champions League. They look as though they've turned a corner recently, that comeback win over Villa last time out. And they'll, of course, be going up against the Leeds side who are missing their skipper, Liam Cooper, who's suspended from that Manchester City game. So a back and away win at Elland Road, where only six of Leeds' 14 league wins have come this season.
Yeah, Aidan, I felt there was real hope to take for Liverpool fans out of that Villa win, because I felt maybe a couple of months ago, if they would have gone behind against Villa, that game would have really run away from them. But they dug deep and managed to find the win. That can only be pleasing.
Yeah, from Liverpool's point of view, it was. I watched the match and I didn't think Liverpool were... I thought Liverpool were good first half against Aston Villa and were probably unfortunate to be behind. And then in the second half, as the game went on, actually, Villa were looking to me like the more likely to win the match. And then sort of out of nowhere, Trent Alexander-Arnold pulled that brilliant finish in injury time. And that, you know, it was a really big win for Liverpool in terms of the top four. Then on Wednesday night against Real Madrid, missed chances cost Liverpool. And it's been a case of that this season at times. There's been quite a few games where Liverpool have, you know, the expected goals have been in their favour, but they haven't taken clear chances in the match. And you know, that will probably be one of the themes of the season when Liverpool look back on it. This game, I remember the Tony Eboa goal as well from all them years ago, mid-90s, I think it was, 95, 96. And it's a fixture that, you know, is one that's had some really high-scoring games down the years. There was a 4-3 in around about 2000 as well, a really famous one. I think Mark Viduka scored four goals. It's just a shame there's going to be no fans, of course, at this one, you know, once again. I can see what Carl's saying about the double chance as well, 11 to 10, because I think Leeds will cause Liverpool problems, especially after Liverpool have had the tough game against Real Madrid in midweek. Maybe the goal scorer markets again is one to look at. Mohamed Salah's in great form, but Diogo Jota didn't start for Liverpool against Real Madrid. I would think he'll probably come into the side. He's been in decent form, scored against Arsenal twice and got the winner at Wolves as well before the international break. He's about 5-4 to score any time. So I'm unsure how the game's going to go in terms of an overall outcome, but I like the look of Jota to score at 5-4 anytime.
Yeah, great stuff. It's a really big week in terms of the top four, actually. We've got some big games and none more so than Chelsea against Brighton. Now, Chelsea currently in fifth, a point behind West Ham, but you'd probably fancy them to win this, Carl. It's worth noting before we preview the next few games, Chelsea, of course, play on the Saturday. So maybe a little early to make sort of firm predictions on here, but we can at least give the listeners a steer.
Yeah, so Chelsea are 4-7, Jack. Brighton 9-2, draw 3-1. Remember, Chelsea involved against Man City on that energy sapping Wembley pitch, and that leaves players always leggy. There's always a little bit of a hangover afterwards. So there may be hope for Brighton to get a point at around 3-1, but I would be waiting to see if it goes to extra time, the FA Cup semi on Saturday.
Yeah, Liam, will you be waiting for that FA Cup game to be complete before you start having a look at this game?
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, there's also a look at a potential goal scorer bet in advance. I just think Christian Pulisic is an intriguing statistic after that Porto game. He was fouled 11 times in that contest, the most of any Chelsea player since 2011. So he's a very tricky player. He had 3 shots in that game, shot on target, scored a brace, of course, against Crystal Palace as well recently. So if you're looking for a goal scorer bet, then maybe go for Pulisic against Brighton.
Okay, what about you, Adam?
Yeah, again, obviously, you know, we probably would be waiting until after the cup semi-final before making a decision on it. I think, you know, if Chelsea were to beat City, they go into it on a high after also getting through to the Champions League semi-final, although, you know, they did lose that second game against Porto. So double chance Brighton draw 13-10. If Chelsea were to lose it, they might be on a bit of a, you know, a downer, but it might be one probably that, you know, I would steer clear of. Certainly, well, certainly would wait till after the Chelsea Cup semi-final is finished before, you know, making a decision on it.
Yeah, definitely. We've got 2 similar type games on the Wednesday as well. Tottenham against Southampton at 6, and at 8:15, Villa against Manchester City. Carl, I know it's really difficult to be looking like 2 games ahead, but you know, we'll have a quick glance at these. I'll combine the 2. So give me your favourite bet from each.
Yeah, so my favourite bet from each. Well, Heung-min Son got 4 against Southampton in the reverse league fixture. It was actually a 5-2 win for Spurs, and he obviously scored against United last week. So I think him in the anytime goal scorer market makes sense, as well as over 3.5 goals. And then in the Villa-Man City match, I think City to win 2-0 made most sense, because made most sense to me with no Grealish back, and just Villa haven't been scoring much goals at home, bar the 3 they got against Fulham.
Yeah, they've struggled a little bit creatively, Villa, haven't they, Liam, without Grealish?
Yes, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I was actually going to go for an Ollie Watkins for either first or any time goal scorer bet in that game, because I think there's a bit of reliance on him at the moment. 12 goals, 3 assists this term. He scored in each of their last 2 against Fulham and Liverpool. So maybe worth looking at him in the goal scorer market when prices are kind of come out after that, the weekend matches. In terms of Spurs-Southampton, maybe side with a Tottenham win in that one. I think, you know, Southampton's incentive is going to, motivation may be lower than in the FA Cup tie. And they failed to win 12 of their 16 away Premier League matches this season. So not being particularly good on their travels either.
Adam?
Yeah, I think Tottenham to win in the match against Southampton 8-13. Obviously, Tottenham expected to get the win at home. That would be my bet, especially after Southampton having the FA Cup semi-final. In the Man City Villa game, or is it at Villa Man City? You cannot see anything other than City winning it. Away win 1-3. City to win 2-0, 13-10, as Carl just mentioned. I think City will control the match. They want to make sure that the 2-1 defeat to Leeds was just like a minor blip. The title's virtually theirs to win. Villa were good against Liverpool, and, you know, Watkins scored. So, you know, they may have a little bit of a go at Manchester City, but City to win 2-0 will be my bet, 13-10.
Yeah, panellists in agreement with them 2 fixtures on the Wednesday. Of course, there's lots of EFL action, and I'm sure Liam and his colleagues will be looking into Europe as well. Really hotting up in the EFL at the moment, both in terms of playoffs and the relegation scraps. Carl, is your eye taken anywhere else?
Yeah, well, I've gone with Watford at 4-5 to win at Luton. They've won 11 of their last 13. Unbelievable form. And this isn't a wind-up, Jack, but a Bournemouth draw no bet at 7-4 caught the eye. They actually beat Norwich 1-0 earlier in the season. They won 4 on the bounce. Jonathan Woodgate going well. But Bournemouth draw no bet at 7-4. And P.S., it's not a wind-up.
No, I've not. I'd like to look at Bournemouth in recent weeks. It has to be said. Liam, what about you?
Yeah, I'll delve into Europe, as you said. I think Eintracht Frankfurt have been my kind of team of the season, really. They've just been fantastic in the second half. They've lost only 1 of their previous 17 matches. They've won 3 on the spin against Dortmund, Union Berlin and Wolfsburg. And that win over Wolfsburg was really crucial in the race for the Champions League places. I see no reason why they can't be a very inconsistent Borussia Mönchengladbach side this weekend, who will be out without their commanding goalkeeper, Jan Sommer, who's suspended. And they were held 2-2 by Lowly Hertha Berlin. Berlin last time out. So Frankfurt to beat Gladbach. And then in Spain, I like the look of Sevilla to beat Real Sociedad. There may only be one place separating these teams in La Liga this season, but Sevilla have been much the better side recently. They may be playing away from home, but they've shown defensive grit in wins, wins to nil over Elche, Andalusian rivals Real Betis, and La Liga high flyers Atletico Madrid recently. So Sevilla to beat Sociedad and Eintracht Frankfurt to beat Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Aidan, any fancies outside of the Premier League and FA Cup action?
Yeah, Championship again for me. I said Nottingham Forest last week in the banker, but it didn't come in. They drew, didn't they, last week? But I like Forest at home to Huddersfield. Forest unbeaten in four. They're evens to beat Huddersfield at home. And Huddersfield seem to be heading, well, they're not quite in the relegation mix, but they need to pick up. But they've not won in, well, they lost 2-1 to Bournemouth last week. Last five games they haven't won Huddersfield. So fancy Forest to win at home against Huddersfield at evens.
Yeah, Huddersfield, I'd certainly say they're in the relegation scrap. Yeah. I mean, you look downwards at Rotherham, three games in hand.
Rotherham games in hand, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, on Huddersfield. And I don't think I've seen a worse defensive side than Huddersfield all season. A nice angle, that. Let's get on to the Naps.
This will not be beaten.
Time for the Naps, then. The strongest bet from each of our panellists, put into a treble, enhanced on the Paddy Power website for you all to have a look at. Carl, start with you.
Yeah, I know the lads won't be into this, but Arsenal beat Fulham at 8-11 for me. I just suspect Fulham will be in mourning after Traore goal, a sledgehammer blow, and I napped Arsenal last week against the Blades. I'm going to stick with them this week.
Arsenal, the first in. Liam?
Yeah, I'm going to go Real Betis to beat Valencia. Betis in contention with Real Sociedad and Villarreal for a top five spot in La Liga this season. They're fresh from a hard-fought 1-1 draw with Atletico Madrid. They've only lost once in their last eight matches. Been really impressed with Borja Iglesias, Sergio Canales this season. So they should be confident of beating a Valencia team with only eight league wins to their name this season.
And Aidan.
Yeah, I'm going to go Atletico Madrid to beat Eibar. Atletico, obviously, In the title hunt, 2-5 at home against a struggling Eibar team. Eibar complete outsiders at 8-1, so I like Atletico to win 2-5.
Three strong fancies there: Arsenal, Betis, and Atletico Madrid. That will be in a treble on the Paddy Power website. Well, we got through a lot of games there. Thanks to Aidan, Liam, and also Carl for their insight. If you're having a bet this week, remember to do so within your means and gamble responsibly. And we'll be back next week for another football podcast. Bye-bye.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.